Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, do you remember what you were doing 5 years ago today? The 1st of February, 2020, Brexit Day. Yes, that's the day our nearest neighbours left the EU. This week, UK in a Changing Europe, a think tank based in London, published a report to mark the milestone. How have the 5 years been for the UK? It's great to welcome David Smith, economics editor with the Sunday Times, to the show. David, how are you?
I'm fine, Bobby. Nice to talk to you.
You too. And 5 years on, are there cakes and bunting out on the streets today? Or how are the British nation feeling about a 5-year review on Brexit?
Yeah, there's very little celebration, even from the real Brexit supporters. I mean, there was a party to celebrate the first anniversary, I think, but I don't think there's been anything to celebrate the fifth one. And I'll tell you why. I think one is the we've had a poll this week. You may have seen it, which suggested that the proportion of people who think Brexit was a good idea has fallen to its lowest ever level. So we're not happy with it. And we've also had, as you may know, our Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, who's under a bit of pressure, launching a growth strategy in response to the fact that growth is so weak in the UK, that we are suffering from weak growth. And I think a lot of that has to do with that Brexit 5 years ago.
And do you think that, and I know COVID seems like a long time ago now, but did that sort of protect the UK from having to face up to some of the consequences of Brexit, that sort of COVID got in the way?
I think when it comes to it, people will say, you know, it's been one of a number of things that has hit the UK economy. And as you say, almost immediately that we left towards the end of that same month, 5 years ago, COVID started to emerge. In March 2020, we had the first lockdown and all those things. But when you move away from that and look at the numbers, the ambition of the government we've got now, Labour government, is to have the fastest growth rate in the G7, which is a bit of a stretch. If you look at the period since the pre-pandemic days, so you go back to the end of 2019. We have had the second weakest growth in the G7. We've been outstripped by Italy, by France. Spain is not in the G7, but Spain is growing very strongly at the moment, as you know. And the US has grown by about four times as much as the UK since that period. The only thing that keeps the Brexiteers happy is that Germany has struggled so much over this period. But Germany, as you know, and I'm sure you've discussed this on the programme, has its own particular problems at the moment. But UK growth has been extremely weak. The last parliament, one reason why the Conservatives lost the election back in the summer was that it's been such a weak period for economic growth. You know, it wasn't helped by COVID. It wasn't helped by the fact that interest rates had to go up in response to inflation. But even stripping away all that, we've had a pretty weak picture since the decision to leave the EU.
And you mentioned Rachel Reeves earlier and about her plans and her ambitions, her budgetary ambitions. But she didn't mention Brexit once in her delivery. And, you know, when you look at Europe, it seems that her ask around the relationship with Europe is vague.
It is vague, Bobby. And the only mention of Brexit in her speech was actually to criticise the deal that the Conservatives had come to in leaving the EU. She didn't offer, as you say, any immediate hope of improving on it. I think it's curious because, as I was saying earlier, support for Brexit has fallen. But Labour's problem is that you've got Reform UK, which is essentially grew out of the Brexit Party, snapping at its heels in the opinion polls and in many of those constituencies. I mean, you know, Labour should not really worry about that because there's not going to be an election for another 4 or 5 years. So they could do something more with Europe. But I think Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, had his fingers burnt when he was Shadow Brexit Secretary for calling for a second referendum. So I think he's very wary of anything. And that I think is damaging it because it's, you know, the search for growth in the UK at the moment is like, you know, two bald men searching for a comb. You know, without the EU, without closer relations with the EU, it's always going to be a struggle. And I expected this. You know, I don't get everything right, but I expected that one of the consequences of leaving the EU would be in a few years' time, we'd be stuck with slow growth. People would be desperate to do something about it, but we've got kind of trapped by that very narrow vote in 2016 to leave the EU. And I think that is the way, unfortunately, it's panning out, and it's the way it'll pan out for this government, I'm afraid.
And the other issue is, I suppose, you know, there are two parties in every negotiation. And if Europe isn't that, you know, that minded to enter into negotiations, that leaves the UK in quite a difficult position.
It does, yeah. And I think if the Labour government had made a fantastic start in the way that its predecessor Labour government did in 1997, the 1997 Labour government under Tony Blair was as popular 6 months after the election as it was at the time of the election. That's certainly not the case this time. The Labour government is already unpopular. So if you're looking at this from a Brussels perspective, from an EU perspective, you're not sure how long this government is going to be in power. Is it a one-term government? Are you going to go back to a kind of conservative reform UK mix of Eurosceptics again? So anything you negotiate now is not going to last. And do you make concessions on that basis? I think they're adopting almost the same approach. The language is warmer, but the approach that the EU has got is hardline, and they're taking the same tough approach as they did to the previous government. So I think they're not minded to give too much away, and that doesn't help matters. I think if Labour started making the first moves on things like a youth mobility scheme and all which the EU wants, then I think you could sharpen it up. But they sense the caution of this government, and they're not prepared to move very much because of that.
A couple of things that are on the table, and they may be, I suppose, outside the agreement as it stands, but things like a veterinary agreement, there was talk of an artists agreement to allow artists tour around the UK. There are things around personal qualifications, you know, being recognised. You know, could I suggest that the relationship would need to be warmed up before many of these can be really looked at in a meaningful way?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case, and I think this has been a big disappointment because I think many of us thought that the initial deal, the deal that was negotiated when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister, was very much a bare bones agreement, which could be improved upon over time, as you say, for musicians touring in the EU and vice versa, for the veterinary agreement and so on. And the frustration has been that even on those things, it's proved to be quite contentious. There have always been newspapers in the UK which will say that any shift towards the EU is undermining Brexit. And so, you know, this caution is very frustrating and disappointing, I think. And you know, we expected, and I expected, that would have happened even under if the Conservatives had retained power. I think Rishi Sunak, the former Prime Minister, was looking to improve in some of these on the initial deal in some of these areas. So it's a great frustration, and it's you know, you can see the problem. You can see that it is harming the UK economy and not doing the EU economy all that much good.
Yeah.
But the two sides remain, remain quite a long way apart on these things.
Yeah, it seems to be lose-lose for everybody. Just finally, I wanted your thoughts on, because I know we're quite concerned about it here, the new Trump administration. I know we've got a lot tied up in the US. We have a lot of US foreign investment in our country. And there's a lot of worry, I think, around how Trump will deal with Europe. How did the UK view the Trump administration?
Well, I think, you know, with some trepidation, I think the decision yesterday and the start today of the tariffs against Mexico and Canada, and China, and the clear threat that there will be tariffs on the EU. You know, it's not so long ago that in the UK they were talking about a trade deal with the US. Now it's a question of, can we avoid tariffs? I think there's a lot of worry about this. I'm writing something about this, as we speak. And it is a great fear that this is the beginning of a new trade war, which in the end, you know, as with relations with the EU, this damages everybody. It will damage America, it'll damage American consumers. It will push up U.S. inflation. And as we saw earlier, well, saw last month, you know, the tariff threat, you know, really went down very badly in financial markets. That was one of the things that pushed up government bond yields and has made things more difficult. So I think there's a lot of worry and trepidation about what Trump is up to. He's unpredictable. And most of the things on which he is predictable are quite damaging to the global economy.
And very finally, can I just ask you, David, where will we be, in your view, on the 10th anniversary of Brexit, if we look 5 years out?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, I would hope that, you know, a lot. I don't think the UK will be back in the EU. I would hope that we will have negotiated a better deal and closer relations by then. And if it takes that long until the 10th anniversary, again, that would be disappointing. I hope we can get something something through more quickly than that. But it's a snail's pace at the moment.
All right. Well, as always, we really value your analysis and we thank you for it. That's David Smith there, economics editor with the Sunday Times. Thanks very much, David. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.